You know, and of course, as Gen X, we grew up in really the coolest generation, pretty much. I think that's pretty obvious. And if it wasn't for Becca and Jim, this entire presentation would have been nothing but TikToks and 80s references. So y'all can thank them for saving y'all from that fate today. All right, so real quickly, just a real brief overview of the generations, and I'll talk about Gen X, of course. Excellent leaders, a lot of startup, like 55% of all startups were started by Gen Xers. Many of today's most influential tech companies were started by them. We need immediate feedback. We like feedback. We like people to be upfront with us, tell us expectations and things like that.
And the millennials, we really came up with technology. So we're the first generation that had texting when it was 10 cents a text message and you could only send it in emergencies to the iPhone, right? And so as we've seen that progress, it's much more fast moving. It's immediacy. It's also where our clients and the individuals that we're working with every day are going. And so we're seeing that change generationally within law firms. We're seeing it within school districts and how teachers approach their job as well.
This is the first time I brought a laptop to this conference. I missed the three ring binders. I mean, they're clunky, but they worked. You know, I mean, I spent the first session trying to connect. And fortunately, Sarah, my millennial colleague, helped me through it. So, you know, we're adapting, but we're having to because we're learning from the millennials. We're learning from the Gen Xers. Even though it's hard, but we have to do it. I mean, we like to say, God, these kids, they don't work. They want, you know, they think they're stressed. But we have to realize they're the only ones we have. I mean, we can't go out and get another group. So these are the ones that we have to work with. And we
like to call that different values.
but we can't just say, well, either our way or the highway, because you know, we're running out of road, so we've got to get, you know, we have to adapt and, you know, do what the millennials and Gen Xers and whatever happened to Y. I mean, we have Z. Where's
it's
Y?
It's millennial.
Okay.
Y's are millennials.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
See, I've learned something every day.
For the purpose of our presentation, we've combined them.
Yes. Yes, we know these numbers can be fudged a little bit, and we don't want to offend anybody. You're welcome to identify in whatever generation you want to identify in, but totally cool with it. We don't have a problem. I do think it's interesting, though, talking about millennials, and by, I think, 2035, 75% of the global workforce is going to be millennial or Gen Y. And so I think it's really important that we have discussions, and we'll get into how this somewhat mixes into ethics in a minute, but I think it's important that we have these discussions about how we all work together across different generations, seeing that we all see the world differently and approach it differently. And Gen Z, we don't want to leave them out. I mean, I think they're the fastest emerging generation, and they'll become of age. And then, of course, the ones right after that will be here in the next 10 years. So it's all moving along pretty quickly.
What comes after Z?
It's
Alpha.
It's Alpha, starting in 2010.
I think. Double A.
I think that's right. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about the disciplinary rules of professional conduct. And the first rule that I want to talk about briefly is truthfulness in statements to others. In the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not knowingly make a false statement of material fact. So I think we all know this, but I just want to really reiterate the importance of being truthful. And I was trying to think of a good example. You know what? I'll tell you. Here's a good example. So, for example, if I were to say that Gen X did not have the best music of any generation, that would be a false fact. That would not be true. So I just want to make sure, like that, I can't say that without it being materially false. Right.
I just want to throw it out there. The halftime performance was really for my generation.
they were all Gen Xers.
So,
except for Kendrick Lamar.
But they were popular when I was a teenager.
Jim, thoughts?
I'm just, you know, I think about when my wife and I now watch the recorded Saturday Night Live, because we don't stay up that late anymore. the musical groups that are on there. You know, I couldn't tell you who they are and say, oh, it's so-and-so. Okay. And I'm thinking, how this really isn't new, because I'm sure when I was watching Saturday Night Live in college, in law school in the mid and late 70s, when my parents probably thought the same thing about the Rolling Stones, James Taylor, Joe Cocker. I mean, this, you know, they were on Saturday Night Live, and we thought they were great. And now they have still hung around. I don't know if your people will.
It's a good point. A lot of mine are dead.
Yeah.
Well, some of ours are too, but they're more drug induced. But
So we can carry this conversation on later at the reception if y'all like. It'll be self study CLE.
And the purpose of the truthfulness that I think becomes difficult is if you've ever had a client lie to you, and you've then repeated that, it is not knowingly. You're not knowingly violating it. However, once you become aware, make sure you read the comments to this rule and know what you're supposed to do, because at that point you have to correct it. And so make sure that you're aware of the obligation. We take what our client says. We say, okay, great. I will represent you based on those facts. Just make sure that if you become aware of the falsity of what they're stating to you, that you then clear that up.
All right.
Well, and as a senior attorney, it's our job to also tell the young attorneys that, you know, you have to remain skeptical. Your clients may tell you something. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure it's truthful. It's just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. I mean, it's something that's learned, you know, over time of years, but it always helps our younger attorneys if we can let them know that while we do believe in our clients and we think their cause is just, sometimes there's going to be a client who doesn't tell you the truth, or they tell you their version of the truth, which is swayed a little.
Mm-hmm. Which segues very nicely into Ethics Rule 5.01, which is, of course, responsibilities of a partner supervising lawyer, which is interesting. So from my perspective as an in-house attorney, we deal with this. We're dealing with generational differences right now, of course, with teacher recruiting. That's our biggest thing. It's how are we reaching out to, how are we connecting with, how are we making our teachers of different generations, particularly the younger generations, feel like they're involved and they're engaged with our core business. And then, of course, for y'all in the firm, it's going to be a little different because this hits right home with y'all.